What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 20th, 2018. I am Tim Geddes, joined by the one and only Jared Petty.
The Geddes and the Petties back together right now. Here it is.
The Geddes-Petty connection. I'm loving it.
Let's connect.
Tip to tip. Oh, that was electrifying, Jared.
Ouch.
I feel like it's been a long time since I've been on the show. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think that time has ceased to exist for you. You're kind of operating your own timeline.
Doing my own thing.
You have worked every day for as long as I can remember now.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It's been a good time, though. We've got a lot of good stuff going, and we got a lot of good stuff coming. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about all the video game news going on. You can get the show live here on Twitch, or you can get it as a video whenever you want to watch it on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or as a podcast on any podcast service you desire by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every day, it's one of us. It's either me or Jared or Andrew or Renee or Gary Witta or Greg Miller. A different combination. Sometimes there's new people, and they're fantastic. Aiden did a great job last week.
She did.
2 weeks ago.
It's an interchangeable puzzle box of talent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Indeed. Last week, we had a lot of guests last week.
We've been traveling. We've been doing a lot of stuff. We're going to continue that traveling. PAX is next week, and we are all over it. Greg, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Inner Sight Championship Saturday, 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. We got some fun surprises planned for that. So if you're going to PAX, definitely be there. Definitely check that out. I'm not sure if it's going to be streamed yet. I'll try to get that information for you later in the week. So mm-hmm. We'll let you know if you're at home. Greg, Jared, and Corey Barlock.
Indeed. Along with Kat Bailey.
Okay.
Yep.
Are talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. in the Wyvern?
Wyvern Theater.
Theater.
Yeah, also Sydney Goodman from IGN will be there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
so it's a panel talking about Superman games, why they suck, and how we can make them better.
Oh, man, that sounds fun.
Excited about that one. And I believe that one is going to be streamed. I think that's one of the live ones.
And then Andrea and What's Good Games will take the Hydra stage 10 a.m. on Sunday. So that's all the different panels and events going on for Kinda Funny.
Actually, not all of them.
Oh.
Because there's also Red Dead Radio Live also taking place.
Ooh, okay. Who's
weekend.
Be on that one?
Red Dead Radio Live is going to be John Ryan from IGN, as well as Steimer.
Oh, cool.
And Steimer and Britt from What's Good Games.
What's Good Games. What a fantastic lineup. And for everybody out there that might be asking, hey, if I'm a Patreon supporter at the fan mail tier, what am I getting this month? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you're getting. You're getting the champ signed picture. Can you cut to the one, please, Cool Greg?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Well, look at it. Look at it in all of its glory.
I'm reasonably sure you're de-incentivizing people to subscribe on Patreon every time you flash that thing.
This thing is amazing. It might be my... Can I get this, Nick, for free?
I was going to actually surprise you with one and hang it right by that Bethany photo.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
Anyway, I was going to say to Tim, my biggest fan, love.
I hung that thing in my bedroom, I'd never have sex again.
Your climaxes would be that much stronger.
Patreon.com/kindafunnygames at the fan mail tier. We'll get you this. The last bit of housekeeping we got here is, Jared, you have a new preview up on IGN.
Oh, yeah. Just very, very quickly, I got to play the new Torchlight Frontiers, mm-hmm. Which I was really excited about because just about the first person outside of publishing and developing to get to do that. And guess what? It's fun. Did you play Torchlight back in the day?
No, I didn't.
Torchlight is by the same folks that originally created Diablo and Diablo 2. It's a really kind of a bright, fun take on that kind of game, but it's got just the most rewarding, really well-designed, really well-balanced loot, murder, repeat loop to it. It's really great. So if you enjoy things like Diablo 3 Reaper, this is going to be something that's very appealing to you. Obviously, it's very early on, but what I played early on was ridiculously exciting. It was
awesome.
Really good preview.
Cool.
And I was a little robot. It's like a killer Wally with a machine gun in my chest. It was fun.
Go check out the preview on IGN. And today's episode is brought to you by MeUndies, but we will get to that later because now we're going to begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news, ladies and gentlemen. Six news stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Yes. Number one, this is one of my favorite things ever. We are unboxing the 500 million limited edition PS4 Pro Hashtag game provided by PlayStation. PlayStation sent us this to unbox. I'm very excited about it. Let's go, baby.
I feel like the ActRaiser music ought to be playing. Like the bum, 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 bum.
So let's just start with this. We're going to take off.
You want help?
Yeah, let's just rip it off.
All right, just ripping it.
Oh, man, even the box is so sexy.
It's so silky smooth.
All right, so here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not watching this and just listening, you should stop what you're doing and come get this video. Come watch this video. The box has a cutout.
Oh.
So that you can, it's transparent, so you can see the transparent PlayStation 4 on the end. Andy just audibly gasped. Yeah. Sorry.
I literally was like, no, it's not your fault. It's
blurry because it's transparent.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm going to.
Oh, it's lovely.
We're going to try to get this guy out.
Okay. I think the bottom.
I don't want to Greg Miller it and just destroy the beautiful box.
I got to say, it's really turning me on, guys.
That's a really pretty box. All right.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's our latch. You got it? So far, so good. Yeah, we're going to get Scarpino out of the way here.
The funny thing about unboxing videos is they never go as well as you think they're going to.
Well,
because it's always
manual dexterity.
To do.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Right. Just got to get some nail in there.
Look at that.
Okay.
Translucent.
Jiminy Cricket, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at that. Look at that. Nice.
Oh, man. Yes, I can, Nick. Yes, I can. Oh, there it goes. Now, here's the thing.
It's got a thing on.
So we're going to take
this. Is that
this
a ShamWow?
A little shammy sham.
Sham wow there. All right. You got it?
It's a very presentational box.
That's a box. Some thought went into that box.
Lots of thought went into this box.
Indeed.
All right. Are you ready for the reveal? Let's get to the one.
All right.
Oh, I love that even the shammy has the PlayStation logo.
The sham wow. All right. What do we got? What do we got inside?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's all wrapped in plastic and shiny. God,
look how transparent that is. You can see all the insides.
Ooh.
You can see that disc drive.
You can. That Blu-ray.
We are number 37,192 out of 50,000.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so shiny. Wow. It really is just pretty. It's just a very subtle effect.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Joe, you want to take the stickers off? Do the honors. Get in here.
All right. What else we got? I'm going to bet there might be a power supply cable in there. Perhaps a controller. You got some Hellraiser going on right here. You're just like, how do I open the puzzle box?
It's just a.
All right. There we go.
There's nothing. Well, there are very few things I love more than taking the stickers off.
Yeah.
So we got the PlayStation camera as well.
It just feels so satisfying.
Same colors.
Ooh, PlayStation. Is it translucent as well?
It is not translucent.
Okay,
this
colored.
Is more of a matte navy.
Oh, that is
still
really
sexy
lovely.
Though.
All right.
Put this there.
You know, I don't usually go for special edition consoles, but this one is really well done.
It's gonna be real hard to get. Only 50,000 available. So
that is lovely.
August 24th, you can go get them. See, now this controller, I can really get behind.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. So it's translucent there. Of course, the back still isn't translucent. It's like the normal PlayStation controllers. But I love the color of the buttons there. Because like my biggest problem with this is I wasn't in love with the chrome that's going on. But that controller is good. And the controller is sold separately as well. So you can just get that if you would like.
Oh, it's really pretty.
And then, let's see what's going on here. Normal stuff. I thought there might be something fun. There's not. And then.
Oh, look. Did you see the coloration on the buttons?
Yeah, the buttons
so
are
lovely.
Sexy.
Look how
what is
look
this?
At that?
The PlayStation Eye little stand.
I love that monochromatic colorization on the buttons. The fact that they're all blue like that. That's just great. You don't have the four color buttons. They're just matte. Oh, that's lovely.
Guys, this is real pretty.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Ooh.
How do I do this without getting me?
Yeah, you can see right through it.
I'm not usually one for these special edition.
Yeah, same here, but this is lovely.
But I love this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just show me how it works.
Joe, can you take this box?
Yes.
Thank you.
Treat it with a proper reverence, though. All right.
Sorry.
Is that a stand for it?
Yeah. But.
Yeah. I don't know how these things work.
I don't know how it works either. I don't see any like little notch for it. So I'm just gonna.
Did we miss a piece somewhere? Down.
You know what? I'm gonna put it up this way.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow.
It's like here in the shot, it looks kind of like the monolith from 2001. Like it's rising up. It's going to inspire us as the man apes to learn the power of using tools.
I love it.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
That is what they say.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nick. We're good on that.
This is really cool.
It is really cool. A little some information about, again, hashtag game provided by PlayStation. Thanks to PlayStation for sending us one of these beautiful things. Sony Interactive Entertainment is celebrating a major milestone in PlayStation history as we announced that more than 525.3 million PlayStation systems have been sold worldwide, going all the way back to the PlayStation 1 in 94. Because of that, they're releasing this guy, 2 terabyte hard drive, a commemorative copper plate alongside a matching vertical stand, PlayStation camera, DualShock 4 controller, and mono headset. It's available for $499 US. Please note, these special hardware units will be available in very, very limited quantities, with only 50,000 units being shipped worldwide. The limited edition PS4 Pro will be available on retailer websites starting August 24th, and fans should be able to check out PlayStation.com page for the list of participating retailer websites in the US and Canada. The limited edition DualShock 4 and Gold wireless headset will also be available in select retailers across the US and Canada in early September. I'm definitely going to get my hands on one of those controllers.
Yeah.
That's what I want the most, although damn.
The controller? Yeah.
This thing is
I've already gotten my hands on one of those controllers. I don't know if you'd noticed, but it's gone.
It's now in my pocket.
Yeah, it's in your pocket.
Oh, Jared, I gotta love you. In addition to this, PlayStation announced today 4 new DualShock 4 colors. We got berry blue, sunset orange, blue camo, and copper. And they'll be available sometime in September. The controllers will run $65 each, and copper will initially be exclusive to GameStop in the U.S.
Copper's appealing to me.
The copper one matches this one pretty well, like just the little accent bit on the front.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But I really do think I'm going to pick one of these up.
Jesus Christ.
That is just an exceptionally good looking console. Although, it does pick up fingerprints. Look at that. You have to be. Of course, you're not going to be lifting it when you're playing with it, so. Oof. But yeah, it reminds me of those. You had that wonderful era of translucent consoles.
I love it.
And yeah, I love that too. I like being able to see the workings on the inside of things.
Man,
really
this
do.
Controller is so nice.
It is. It's the buttons. That's what does it for me.
Buttons,
it's that
man.
Four. It's the fact that they're all blue. Mm-hmm. I just that's what takes it over the top.
All blue earth thing. All right. Enough of this PlayStation stuff. Number two.
Yeah.
On the Roper Report, Hitman 2 will have all the Hitman 1 levels. Check this out. Jared. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and IO Interactive today announced World of Assassination, an ever-expanding game world that will bring remastered and enhanced locations from the previous game to Hitman 2.
Huh.
Known as the Hitman Legacy Pack, all 6 locations, Paris, Sapienza, Marrakesh, Bangkok, Colorado, and Hokkaido, will be accessible as downloadable content and will incorporate various new features from Hitman 2, including a brand new progression system, addition of hiding and foliage and crowds displayed at improved fidelity, picture-in-picture mode, strategic use of mirrors, improved combat AI, new gameplay items like the briefcase, dart gun, flash grenades, and much more. The Hitman Legacy Pack will be available to owners of the previous game for free. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Owners of Season 1 can download the remastered and enhanced content once Hitman 2 launches without any additional cost.
That's great.
Yeah. Hakan Abrik, the CEO of IO, says, "This is our way to say a big thank you and give something back. We finally revealed our long-term vision to deliver the World of Assassination, an ever-expanding continuous universe starting from Paris in Season 1, going all the way through to the end of Hitman 2 and beyond. With our future endeavors. To create a universe like this is not only an ambitious task creatively, but also technically. I am in awe and admiration with our incredibly talented team and what they have achieved."
So did you play any of the Hitman 1?
Very, very little.
Okay.
And I regret that. Because every time I've seen Let's Plays of it, like the Achievement Hunter guys are always putting stuff up. It looks like such a blast.
It is. It's fantastic. I don't like stealth games, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I liked it because it's so much of it is about hiding in plain sight, approaching things logically. It's less about like, hey, make sure I always stay behind this guy, and more about, well, here's a puzzle piece, and here's a puzzle piece, and here's a puzzle piece. And if I can lure person A to spot B while keeping an eye on guard C, I can make this cool thing happen.
Yeah.
Then I can go back to the same map and try something entirely different. Things will play out in a vastly different way.
Yep.
I love that about it.
I love it too. I'm excited for this. I think this is a very brilliant move on their part. You know, Hitman 1, I feel, didn't get the love that it deserved because of its episodic nature.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a lot of people like Giant Bomb were really big evangelists for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people wrote it off because it didn't feel like a proper full video game. It felt like it was so piecemeal and like incomplete as it was coming out.
Well, yeah, the episodic part of it drove me away from it ultimately. But when I played of it, it was so good that I'm just like, I was like, sooner or later, they're going to release this in a complete pack. And now, hooray, they are going to. So that makes me very, very happy because this is a proper game that I think a lot of people, even folks that don't normally get into this kind of game, may really enjoy. It's also beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. The environments are really great.
And it being remastered and just additional content to what already looks like a stellar game with Hitman 2, I think this is great.
It's Rube Goldberg Murder Simulator.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what it is.
New story number three. This comes from @FutureLabs on Twitter. They dropped a truth bomb here, Jared.
A truth bomb?
Future Labs being FutureLab. So this is a multi-thread tweet that was put out there. A multi-tweet thread is the correct way to say that.
You know, either way, I think people got the got
number
the
one, truth bomb. If you want to see the bells and whistles sequel to Velocity 2X that we have been working on in secret for years, you need to go out and buy Velocity 2X on Switch. Velocity 2X on PS4 and Vita was released for free on PlayStation Plus. Great for downloads, well into the millions. And so there's a big player base, but publishers for a sequel want to see actual unit sales. Velocity 2X on Steam was published by Sierra/Activision on the same weekend as Windows 10 arrived, creating a game-breaking bug for NVIDIA cards that took us a year to fix. It therefore flopped on Steam. Velocity 2X physical on PS4 and Vita, published by Badland, was a very public disaster, and we will likely never see another dime from it. We could have published Velocity 2X on Switch ourselves, but we chose to give it to Curve as a carrot because we want them to publish Velocity Supernova, title confirmed. We like Curve. Little smiley emoticon. We've tried over and over and over to get a sequel signed. It's the same every time. It looks and feels amazing, so everyone is interested until they see the actual sales of 2X. Pretty much any publisher you can think of has seen it. Sequel to a 90 Metacritic? Wow. Does it look great? Yep. Does it play great? Yep. Does it do new things? Hell yes. Okay, we're interested. How many players are the previous game? Over 1 million. Great. How did it sell? Oh. So this is probably your last chance to see a fully deserving sequel happen. I wouldn't be doing this if not. Show @CurveDigital how much you want it. Velocity 2X is currently being prepped for launch on Switch. Watch @CurveDigital for announcements of the release date.
So this looks like an example of frankness in marketing. Somebody just saying, look, we built a great video game that was critically successful. It was played by millions thanks to its release on PS Plus, but nobody bought it. And if nobody buys it, it's very difficult to convince a publisher that your game, despite its ridiculous success, can actually make them money. So he's just coming out and saying, if you want a sequel to Velocity, you gotta buy it on Switch. It's our last hope. Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You, the player base, are our only hope. Buy it on Switch. That's his argument. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you want to do that is up to you, but he's coming out and saying that if you want the sequel, this is your last chance.
Yeah.
That's an interesting approach.
It's a very interesting approach. I personally love it. I feel like this is a very forward-thinking use of social media. And like just the fact alone that we are now reading this as a news story shows that like this is a good idea. Get something out there. Show like the more transparent you are with the process of video game development,
yeah,
I feel like you're speaking directly to the people that might want to support this. I'm sure there are people out there that want a Velocity sequel so bad that they would buy the Switch version even if they don't have a Switch just because they enjoyed it for free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, right? I think this is this isn't like a theoretical Kickstarter or something where somebody's like, I have an idea and here's a little demo and here's a trailer. So this is a proven developer that's, like you said, made a 90 Metacritic game.
That's the thing.
Building a sequel to that game.
Yep. And it's not like, oh, we're going to, it sounds like they have a title, they've been working on it, they have this game and it looks great. Like the sequel exists. If this happens, we'll make something. It's no, we've been making something. And it's just not going to be properly released to the world if we don't get a publisher.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's still some things to port, some things to finish. It's not like they're just going to immediately be able to push it out the door, but there's enough work done that there's a good chance it's going to be a good game.
Well, I think it's great, too, that this final hurrah is on the Switch, that they are pushing on the Switch, because there is such a... install base of users that are already primed for that type of game on the go or on the Switch in general. And we've seen already with so many of the smaller indie developers, them putting games on Switch and seeing massive sales. So hopefully...
Yeah, was it Gamescast we were talking about this? I don't know when it first clicked for me, but Nintendo is somehow, you know, Nintendo's always been good at selling us their first party games over and over and over again, right? They'll sell us games we've already bought. They did that through Virtual Console, they do that through compilation. Heck, it goes all the way back to Mario All-Stars.
Yeah.
They will sell us games that they have made before, and we will buy them, they learned. Switch, somehow with Switch, Nintendo's figured out how to do that for third party games?
Huh.
We buy so many games we already own or have played a decade ago or a year ago on Switch again. How did that happen?
Yeah.
I love it, but how did that happen? They are selling us third-party games that are already available many other places, and we keep buying them. Now, some of that's the quality of the games they're choosing to release. Some of that is the portability, which was never really available before, or never as easily available as we'd like. Some of it's that that hybrid appeal, and some of it's that it's just so darn convenient. And these games just feel good on that platform. But all of that together, it's a really rad thing. And here's another example of that happening. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never played it, and I didn't really know much about it. Looking into this, I just checked out a YouTube video. It looks awesome. It looks very cool. So I good luck to you guys.
I think that before we get into this second one, I really do feel this next one, we owe a moment of silence. Just really quiet, just a second here to mourn the loss of a beloved friend. Can we sit quiet for just a second?
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night Vita version canceled. 2019 release for the rest. This comes from a Kickstarter update.
Woe is me.
I'm so sorry, Jared. The game's launching in 2019, Iga says. The most important reason for this is to raise the quality level, especially after all the very valuable feedback from the beta backer demo. The Vita version is canceled. The decision is largely due to Sony's plans to discontinue the Vita console, ending production of physical copies and stopping certain online stores support. Certain online store support features. It's extremely unfortunate, but as a result, we won't be releasing the game on Vita. For the backers who have ordered the PS Vita version of the game, you will be able to choose another platform or request a refund.
Like me.
This process should be expected through an email that will be sent by Fangamer. It may be troublesome, but please be sure to respond and make the changes. Note, Vita backers will be receiving an email with additional instructions soon. Vita backers who would like to change platforms can now do so on their survey pages. Vita backers who are backed at an unlimited tier and can receive a refund over PayPal can submit a request before 9/2018 to initiate a manual refund of the affected games. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience or disappointment, but rest assured, we're working harder than ever to deliver the game we all made happen together. Please bear with us for a little longer, and I thank you for your continued support.
So I'm not surprised by either of these pieces of news. I've played both the demos for Bloodstained. They're both really good. But a 2019 release date for this game was kind of what I was thinking was likely to happen anyway. It had just been fairly quiet, and it had that vibe that you get when a game's going to be delayed. I'm fine with the delay. I want this game to be right. I've waited long enough already. The demos I played convinced me they know what they're doing. Fine. The Vita game was one of those dare to hope things for me. I ordered the Vita game way back a long time ago. I wanted that little physical Vita cartridge. I knew this game was going to come out fairly late, and I wanted to have one of the last Vita games in physical form. I just thought it'd be cool. This Castlevania games, you know, I played Symphony of the Night on my Vita a lot. It would just have been a great compliment piece since it's a similar game. But the Vita port, if I remember correctly, was actually being handled by a different developer than all the other versions of the game because there was some hardware stuff to build around. And I'm not at all surprised by this announcement.
Yeah.
It was one of those dare to dream moments for me. But I'm not going to get my port, and I'm going to be sad because, the Vita has gave us a good life, and this is yet another mark of probably the end of the thing. I'm happy they're making this game. I've ordered I think 4 copies of it or something. I don't know. I can't remember. I think I've got I've ordered at least 2 physical copies, but I think that also comes with it was 2 digital Curse of the Moon. So I've got 2 physical copies coming.
Got it.
And then 2 Curse of the Moon copies that came in as well. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously this is disappointing news and it sucks when something is promised that people don't get, but how do you feel they've handled this?
I think they handled it about as well as they could in this case. They came out and said, look, we just can't do this anymore. The game's been delayed and we're moving into a place where the hardware is literally not going to support mm-hmm. a physical release anymore. It was the right call. I think far better to do this now than come out 6 months from now and be like, oh, by the way.
Yep.
Just do it now. Rip the Band-Aid.
We're always big fans of transparency here, and I feel like this is a perfect example of that. And I think that the key to having no real reason to be angry about this, sad is one thing, angry is another, is
yeah.
full refunds are available.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is actually a step beyond what I would expect a Kickstarter game of this caliber to offer for something like this. I would imagine you can get it on a different console. Sorry about that. But for them to be like, yeah, you get it on the console, or we'll just give you the money back. I think that that's a very important move for a game this big.
I can't imagine that they pre-sold all that many Vita copies anyway. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Although I feel like an argument against that would be the people that are still playing Vita and do love Vita are the people that would want this
game.
That's
a good point. You're right. They probably,
I feel like Vita might be a popular place for it.
Oh, it would have been perfect for this kind of game. I did have some questions about whether or not the Vita was going to be, again, the fact that they had a separate port in mind made me wonder what kind of compromises were going to have to be made to make it work on Vita. Mm. And that made me wonder a little bit too about whether this was the one really vulnerable version.
Yeah. So. We got some people writing in here. Reverse Flash writes in and says, hey, KFGD crew, with Bloodstained Ritual of the Night now delayed to 2019, is there cause for concern here? The game has taken forever, it seems, and I remember a similar situation with Mighty No. 9, and the game ended up being one of the worst disappointments in gaming. Should fans be concerned with how long this game has taken to come out, and are people even really excited about it anymore? I rarely hear anything on it, and it seems there's no buzz or talk about it in the industry.
I played it at E3. I wrote a preview there. I really liked it. I really liked both of the previous slices, especially the second one, which really did feel like a proper Symphony of the Night style Castlevania game. Mm-hmm. The moment for me that made me a believer was during the second boss fight, where you're fighting this dude with a sword, and my Castlevania muscle memory took over, and suddenly my character was Alucard. I'm playing a game I've never played before, and I knew how to play it, and I was like, whoa. Oh, wow. Like all those precise dodges and quick, I just knew how to do them.
Yeah.
Instinctually. And that meant the people who designed this had an idea about how much. I have no idea what the full game's going to be like. I'm not particularly worried about the delay. My thinking is Iga knows how to make a Castlevania game, and I'm not too worried about that. Mm-hmm. That's my thought. Your thoughts, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, my honest thoughts are I feel like it's very similar to Mighty No. 9, and that scares me. Like, they both were, it was that similar time period of the announcements of the Kickstarters and how the games were coming out, and they were both, you know, with Iga and then with Inafune going back to, like, spiritual new games. They're successors to Mega Man, Castlevania, whatever, and there's a lot of similarities there, especially, like, even just the visual styles of it being, you know, kind of not sprite-based instead of having, like, those 3D models and stuff. But I think the key difference is, and granted, now it's been even longer, but them putting out that 8-bit, Curse of the Moon?
Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, putting that out and it being good and people really liking it, that gives me a lot of faith where I'm like, okay, they do know what they're doing. Although, and them putting out the demos and stuff.
Although Curse of the Moons is an Inti Creates game. I don't think Ritual is. So there's that too. They're connected, but Inti Creates did that, I think, entirely in-house. And this one is being developed, if I remember correctly, by other developers. Interesting. So,
but the fact that you put out demos and that the hardcore love it.
Yeah, especially that second demo. Like, the first one was good, but the second one I really liked. It felt like Symphony, where you just have this ridiculous number of different abilities that were all really fun to use in different situations, and you're absorbing enemies' powers and throwing them back at them, and the level design is really good, and it's semi-exploratory, and there's a lot of variety in the monsters. And again, that's a slice. It could be a grease fire, but it doesn't feel like one based on what we've seen so far. And that's what gives me more hope than Mighty No. 9, which was neat in early looks, but it just didn't feel quite as good as this. Again, there's a difference between doing that in a half-hour slice and doing that in a 20-hour game.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Totally. Number five, what is CD Projekt Red up to? This comes from Alex Gibson at Big Twinfinite.
That's right! Gotta have a Twinfinite story!
In an update via its blog today, CD Projekt Red confirms Spoko, the newest company in its capital group, will be given access to its intellectual property and creative talent for the purposes of creating a yet announced project that will target mobile devices. There are no clues as to exactly what the mobile project is that he's referring to. The obvious answer is that it's a mobile port of Gwent, which would make sense given that CD Projekt Red state that Spoko are to be, quote, given access to its intellectual property. But elsewhere, the rhetoric does seem to suggest this is an all-new project outside of the developer's familiar IPs. One of Spoko's co-creators said, "We were elated to hear that CD Projekt believes in our idea. Our cooperation with Raphael and other members of the team goes back a long way. We have a substantial experience with casual game development, but this time around, we want to work on a far more advanced and ambitious project, offering new possibilities for gamers. It's a very exciting challenge."
Yep. And by the way, I think that's Rafal, Tim. But yeah.
Rafal.
Yeah. Just wanted to show you. So yeah, one of three things. We don't have a clue. It could be a Gwent port. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Gwent's really cool. It could be what I think is maybe much more likely, that they learned from Gwent and Cyberpunk 2077. Absolutely. Will have some super addictive internal laser chess collectible game, and they're going to port that. The third possibility is that they're just investigating a spinoff game of some kind. Mm-hmm. Something entirely not related to an in-game, tavern card game that we're expecting. And it could be based on their IP loosely, but some sort of completely different spinoff. Mm-hmm. I think the second's most likely, or at least it's probably what I want. I want Gwent 2, Cyber Gwent, you know?
I think that's most likely as well. Yeah. I mean, especially if we're just hearing about this now and it's just starting now. I imagine that Gwent, if that were to be the case, we would have heard this a while back, right?
Yeah.
Because this is something that's going to be happening in the coming years. I feel like this will start along with Cyberpunk, go from there. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Gwent is also happening.
Yeah, I really do like the idea of taking one of these big open world games and creating maybe an online play space for a card game or something. When you're playing Gwent and in Witcher and walking around and gaining new cards and stuff, I love that and it's fun. But what if you had a CCG type setup or electronic CCG, whatever it would be in Cyberpunk, and I can play in there and earn stuff, but also I'm walking around with my phone and I can play by myself or with other people, play exactly the same card game.
Mm-hmm.
And earn new cards there that then go back into my Cyberpunk game.
It'd be great.
I'd love it. And I don't have to do that to get them. I could just earn them playing. But when I'm on the bus, why not be playing some more Cyberpunk and then have something waiting for me at home? Mm-hmm. It seems like a natural fit.
Story number six, Gamescom 2018 news is coming in. Gamescom is August 21st through 25th. So tomorrow. It officially begins, but we're already kind of getting some things here. CD Projekt Red Cyberpunk 2077 will be getting a new update during Gamescom 2018 on Tuesday, August 21st. That's tomorrow. The official Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter account tweeted a message about a system update being available titled Gamescom version 2.18, and that the next update is scheduled for Tuesday, August 21st. So, cool. Expect some Cyberpunk news tomorrow.
Woohoo!
Also tomorrow, Xbox. We talked about this a month ago on Games Daily. New Xbox One bundles and accessories will be announced. The new hardware will be debuting during Microsoft's Gamescom edition of its Inside Xbox broadcast live from its booth tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Major Nelson said Microsoft's Gamescom lineup will include 25 games from the various Xbox developers around the world, like Forza, Horizon 4, and Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah.
Also appearing at the show will be a PUBG mode that's new to Xbox One and State of Decay 2's Daybreak Pack, which releases in September. Nintendo announced what it is going to be doing at Gamescom. Some playable games: FIFA 19, Starlink Battle for Atlas, Killer Queen Black.
Boom, boom,
hell
boom.
Yeah, man.
Boom, boom, boom,
I need
boom,
that in my
boom.
Life. Dragon Ball Fighters, Dark Souls Remastered, and Tribus Strikes Again, No More Heroes, Smash Bros. Ultimate, and five of Super Mario Party's minigames. The most interesting thing for me there is the Mario Party bit, because we have not seen anything from Super Mario Party since its announcement at E3. This will be the first time that it's playable, and the game's coming out October 5th.
Are you a Mario Party guy?
I am a huge Mario Party guy.
Me too.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I like Mario Party.
It's been a little rough this last decade or so.
It's been a hard road.
Yeah.
It's been a little tougher.
I'm really excited. The rebrand gives me faith that they understand they need to move away from a lot of what we've been seeing with Mario Party. I know we say this so often, but Mario Party would be perfect on the Switch. It's such a good platform to just pop the Joy-Cons off and play with people around you. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to see what they got to show at Gamescom, because five mini games that'll give us a good idea of what we have. And I'm hoping that also comes with a trailer of some sort talking about game modes. I need to see confirmation of a game mode that looks like classic Mario Kart and doesn't involve a stupid car.
Oh, you said Mario Kart.
Sorry, Mario Party.
Party. Okay.
It doesn't involve the dumb car.
A stupid car. By the way, I've led us... Oh, wait, there's new gameplay. I've led us astray, though, Tim. I didn't renumber when I inserted that CD Projekt.
It's fine.
There's seven stories.
There is seven. I will say that.
All right.
And new gameplay videos of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Torna, the Golden Country, and Daemon X Machina will be debuted. I'm interested in that. That's like the first game they showed at E3 this year for Nintendo that was like the anime mech game.
Yeah, it's really the first game to star IGN's Damon Hatfield for Nintendo.
That's true, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's exciting times. And then, story number seven. We lied. There's an added story.
Sorry about that.
This morning, Nintendo out of nowhere dropped a Nintendo Direct style video exclusively in the UK, though. And no one knew about this, which I think is very weird.
I love that so very much. I can't decide if that's careful planning or if that's just maybe Nintendo Europe and Nintendo America, Nintendo Japan maybe not communicating internally.
It's baffling at this point how many different brands Nintendo has to get information out there for their games in terms of videos. There's Nintendo Direct. There's the Nindie Showcase. There's now the Nintendo UK Indie Highlights,
which
is a separate brand. There's Nintendo Spotlight. It's like, what are you doing, guys?
Well, some of it's, I mean, Japanese corporate culture and Japanese signage culture is about information saturation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you ever look at like just the density of information on a Japanese webpage and how it's organized, it's just some here, some there, some there, some there, some there, a lot here, wall of text, click here to find another really important thing that's hidden behind two layers of links. And I think it's that philosophy kind of played out in PR.
It's very, very bizarre. And I feel like when they do things right and they plan ahead and let people know, it creates excitement. I would have come in here and done a direct on this.
But I do love
done a reaction video.
I also love surprises. IGN Stan Stapleton loves to say that he hopes that one day Half-Life 3 will just appear on Steam.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
no.
Different, though. So, here's my argument against this before we even get into it. It's like Half-Life 3 is one thing. When you're announcing a bunch of indie games, like, create some fanfare. Like, the whole point of this is showcasing these smaller titles. Get people watching it.
Then in that case, we're going to have to do our best to pick up the slack.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out. We aren't going to have to try too hard because IGN's Adam Bankhurst did a great recap of the 16 games announced.
Thanks, Adam.
With little descriptions of each of those. So I'm going to read all of that, but go check out the article on IGN to support them. Nintendo UK has released an indie highlights video revealing 16 games that are headed to the Nintendo Switch this year and next, and we've made a rundown of each one. Nightcall releases in early 2019. You assume the role of a cab driver in Paris, France, in Nightcall as you help the police investigate serial killers who are terrorizing the city while also trying to make enough money to pay your expenses.
That sounds like Jared Crack.
Yeah.
I want to play that so badly.
Next up, we got Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, releasing November 6, 2018. A spiritual successor to Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap. Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom has you playing as Jin in a 2D side-scrolling adventure where you can transform into a dragon, a pig, a frog, a lion, and a snake.
Dragon's Trap is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A sequel to Dragon's Trap makes me so happy. Look, I'm always so enthusiastic about everything. I know I totally deserve to be mocked and teased for it. Dragon's Trap's really good. A sequel to Dragon's Trap is an exciting prospect.
Did you ever see this coming?
No.
Yeah.
No
this
way.
Seems, this seems kind of out there, but this is, it seems to be proof of what we were talking about earlier of smaller titles selling well on Switch to prove a sequel is worth putting out. Like, 'cause that game came out around the launch of the Switch last year, in the early days when there wasn't too much on the eShop. So I think that has a lot to do with why we're seeing this coming out so soon, November 6, 2018.
I love that, like, an ancient Sega Master System game somehow is finding new life on the Switch.
Next game, The Gardens Between releases September 20th, 2018. Not too far. Manipulate time as you try to solve puzzles as best friends Arena and Frent in the Voxel Agents The Gardens Between, which will also be arriving on PS4 and PC. Streets of Rogue releases winter 2018. Tiny Build Streets of Rogue arrives on the Nintendo Switch with four-player co-op and exclusive enhancements that allow you to fight, sneak, and hack your way through a top-down, procedurally generated roguelike.
Okay, never mind Nightcall. That's Jared Crack.
Yeah.
A four-player cooperative roguelike? Yes, absolutely. Top down. Yeah, that's everything I want in life.
Bad North is available now. Release is available now. Defend your island and home against a Viking horde in this real-time tactics roguelite from Raw Fury. Bad North is also headed to other consoles, PC, and mobile this year. The next game is called Moonlighter. Releases autumn 2018. In Digital Sun Games and 11-bit Studios Moonlighter, you play as a shopkeeper who dreams of being a hero. During the day, run your shop and upgrade your town. At night, become the hero and collect loot that can be sold at your shop. Moonlighter release on May 29th, 2018 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Coming to Switch, autumn 2018. This War of Mine releases November 2018. Mm. Originally released on November 14th, 2014, the game tasks you with surviving not as a soldier in war, but as the civilians. In IGN's review of This War of Mine, they said it's a gripping survival sim and a great study of survival during wartime and civil collapse.
If you haven't played this, you should. Okay. It's very well designed. It's not exactly fun because the subject matter is so realistic. It's about being a civilian in a war zone and just trying to stay alive day to day in a contemporary, very modern-esque city.
Huh.
And it's about making ambiguous moral choices. Well, my kids at home starving, do I rob these old people for their food to keep them alive? It's really good.
Children of Morta releases early 2019. Featured in IGN's first Games to Watch 2018, 11-bit Studios Children of Morta is a co-op action RPG that was previously called a Diablo meets pixel art RPG. Everspace releases December 2018. Rockfish Games' Everspace Stellar Edition includes the base game and the Encounter expansion. Everspace is a roguelike space shooter. Every fucking thing is a roguelike.
Well, procedurally generated stuff has a real appeal. It had so much replay. It allows you to design things more easily if you have a good procedural generated engine. That's the key.
Yeah.
If the engine's bad, the game's bad. If the engine's good, the game's usually really intoxicating.
Everspace is a roguelike space shooter that allows you to get better with every run. It was released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May 25th, 2017. Baba Is You releases autumn 2018. In Hempel's Baba Is You, you don't just make the rules, you are the rules. Manipulate the game world to solve 100 different puzzles. Baba Is You is headed to Steam in 2018. Is also headed to Steam in 2018. Slay the Spire releases early 2019, presented by Humble Bundle. Mega Crit Slay the Spire is a roguelike deck-building card game that's currently in early access on PC and has already sold over 1 million copies.
I'd like to point out that's actually a Rouge-like deck-building card game.
It's not just a spelling error?
I don't either. It's just a spelling error in the article.
Next up, Windjammers releases October 23rd, 2018. Dotemu's Windjammers first appeared on the Neo Geo arcade system in 1994 and is a flying disc game that is similar to Pong. A port with online multiplayer was released on PS4 and Vita on August 29th, 2017 and features six playable characters with unique skills. And next, Windjammers 2! Releasing in 2019, Windjammers 2 is arriving next year and is a sequel to the 94's Windjammers. We were only shown an animated cutscene, but players should be able to expect the same frantic flying disc game fun as the first game.
Hyperbole aside, if it can be.
Yes.
I don't know if you can make the statement hyperbole aside. Windjammers is one of the 50 best two-player games ever made.
Huh.
It's timeless. You could play it when it was designed and it was perfect. You play it today and it's perfect. It looks so garish and weird. It's a game about people throwing frisbees at each other that most people, I think, haven't ever given it a shot. It's not been widely available until recently. It's Pong with the mechanics of a fighting game.
Huh.
It's so good. It's so ridiculously good.
Huh. Well,
and the
first
idea
is coming out.
But we live in a world where Windjammers is getting a sequel, and I now believe that we've branched into an alternate reality where someone's just trying to make me happy.
Good. I'm happy for you, Jared.
Have Terraria, you played it?
I have not.
That is a Tim Gettys game.
I went to play it one time, and I thought it was available on Switch, and it wasn't. And I was like, damn it.
It's on PlayStation.
Now it's coming. I know. But that's a playing game for me. You know what I mean? Terraria, released in 2019. Relogic Terraria will finally be arriving on the Nintendo Switch in 2019. Originally released on PC in 2011, IGN's review says, though on the surface it looks like another Me Too indie game seeking to ride the coattails of Minecraft's success, Terraria expands on the familiar sandbox gameplay with a greater emphasis on combat and adventure that proves very satisfying.
A lot of people like Terraria. It's never been my jam, but I get it.
And another Shadow Drop, available now, Prison Architect, yeah. Nintendo Switch Edition, arrives today with two expansions, All Day and a Night and Psych Ward, and we'll be getting the Escape Mode as an add-on later this summer. Originally released on PC in 2015, IGN's review said, Prison Architect is one of the most in-depth, satisfying builder games in ages, if you can get past the initiation.
Prison Architect is an interesting video game and well-suited to the Switch.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
And finally, Morphe's Law, available today. At 10 p.m. Pacific time, Cosmoscope's Morphe's Law is a massively Morphe player shooter that has a unique twist. You shoot others to grow yourself, and if you get shot, you shrink. Play in 4x4 online battles or up to 8 players locally in this team-based shooter where size matters. We saw this first in the Nindy Showcase, the last one, where it looks like if Day of the Dead met Attack on Titan,
yeah.
met Unreal Tournament. And it looks,
I've never played this.
It looks pretty interesting. So yeah, it comes out today.
I love games with puns in the title. Also, Tim, mm-hmm. to go back, I go back to Windjammers for a moment. You don't want to play it on the plane. That's a two-player game. You don't want to play Windjammers by yourself.
Well, yeah, me and Greg Miller sitting next to
each other. Okay, that's all right. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure you didn't. If you try to sell Windjammers as a play against the computer experience, you are not getting Windjammers. Yeah. Windjammers is all about two people.
Okay, cool. I'm going to play Windjammers one day, Jared.
All right.
But until then, if I want to know what games are coming out today, where would I look?
I'd look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Spectrum on Switch, Prison Architect on Switch, Morphe's Law on Switch, and Bad North on Switch. So a lot of the games that we just talked about now available on Switch Woo-hoo! Today. New dates, Windjammers 2, coming to Nintendo Switch and PC in 2019. The Gardens Between, PS4, Switch, PC, and Mac on September 20th. Sharknado VR, Eye of the Storm, later this year on Steam, Oculus, PSVR, iOS, and Android. Fear the Wolves launches for Steam Early Access August 28th. Space Hulk Tactics, October 9th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The Inner Friend, September 6th on PC. Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, November 6th, 2018 on Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Hollow Knight Godmaster, the upcoming free content pack that adds more bosses, music, and quests, launches on August 23rd on Switch. Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry Sets. Jesus. No. This is all caps, so it's very hard to read.
Yeah.
So what it actually is Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry. I'd space. Set sights on November 7th, release on Windows PC.
I do not like that title. Me Leisure neither. Suit Larry games are all about the PG-13. That's what makes it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little too, I don't know.
Wet Dreams Don't Dry?
It just feels, it's kind of like Magna
on Cum, the nose.
Like when they did Magna Cum Loud. Like, I just, nah, it's a little too on the, yeah, it's not, I mean, the best Larry games are creative and interesting. This does not make me feel good about this.
And finally, DICE announced Monday evening before Gamescom that open beta for Battlefield 5 will be available on September 4th for early access and September 6th for all other players on Xbox One, PS4, and Origin for PC. The open beta will feature the Rotterdam map that was revealed just last week on Conquest mode and the Arctic Ford map on both Grand Operations and Conquest modes.
Also on IGN.com today, IGN freelancer Jared Petty's article about Grandia 1 and 2 HD remaster. Mm. And the Grandia games are really interesting RPGs, especially mechanically. And now those are headed to ye old Switch.
Fantastic. Some deals of the day for you. Emmett Watkins Jr., my man, one of your prom princes, writes in and says, howdy, you lovable dweebs. Just a deal of the day for you, this time over at Humble Bundle for some PC games. For the next 8 days, you can pick up the Humble Jackbox Party Bundle for Steam over at their site. For any price you want, you can get Quiplash, Fibbage XL, and You Don't Know Jack Volume 1, XL, and Volume 2. Pay more than the average, 1023 when writing this, and also get the Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2, and You Don't Know Jack Volume 3 and 4. And if you pay the full $12, you'll also get the Jackbox Party Pack 3 and Drawful 2. I can't recommend the Jackbox games enough, as they're sincerely some of the greatest party games ever made. I'd even go far to say that Jackbox Party Pack 3 is one of my favorite games of all time because of how excellent it continues to be for all my get-togethers. $12 is a steal for just one of these games, let alone all of them, and it goes to a great cause of your choice. Thanks, guys. Much love.
Yeah, at over at Hop, Lip, and a Jump, we do patron hangouts sometimes. We play Jackbox together. It's just so much fun.
Jackbox, I agree that it is one of my favorite games of all time. And it gets hard. I wish they would do a better job of, like, I wish it was a platform more than different games. Like, I wish you were just adding on to your party pack.
Yeah.
Because having to back out and go into the different games kind of sucks. But $12 for all that is insane. I've bought multiple versions of these games on different consoles because I enjoy it so much, and it is simply the best video game party experience you can have, because you don't need to be a gamer to be able to understand and love it. All of my friends love playing this game.
Yeah, you're hanging out, maybe the Scovilles are having a barbecue or something, you hang out over there and somebody's like, let's play Jackbox. Everybody Perfect. Whips their phone out.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes, you're ready to go. 10 people are playing.
Fantastic. Time for reader mail, but man, I am having a hard time talking today.
You are a skilled speaker.
I appreciate
You're
that.
You're a capable host.
Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies. Am I wearing mine right now, Jared?
Are you?
I am.
Are you?
I always am. I've thrown away all my other underwear.
You have no other underwear?
No, not a single pair of other underwear.
It's MeUndies or Commando for you.
That's the only way to go.
Wow.
It is the only way to go. Don't you want amazing underwear shipped to you without ever leaving the house? I do, and I get it all the time. Me and Greg love MeUndies. I'm wearing them right now, like I just said. They're the best underwear I've ever worn. Obviously, that's true if I threw away all my other underwear.
My MeUndies have body. That's what I like about them. They got a good feel.
They're good, man. Those microfibers.
Yeah.
They hit you where they need to.
They do.
They release multiple fun prints each month in matching socks and bralettes. That's my favorite thing. Now they started doing all these socks. Now I get to match my socks to my underwear. You guys know I'm a big fan of matching. I got some new ones that have sloths on them. I got these little ones with like pirate skulls all over it with like gold coins, but the coins are actually really shiny.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Tim Gettys, I got to be honest, I don't know what a bralette is.
A bralette is a bra that is like less, it's more just fabric based and it doesn't have wires and stuff on the inside.
Oh, okay.
It's more just kind of like, it's like a sports bra, but it's not for sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know
Gia
that.
Gia is a big bralette fan.
I didn't know that there was a word for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be.
Mm-hmm. 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, you can send them back, get a full refund. And now there's MeUndies monthly membership. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip any month that you want. To get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily.
Rad.
Do it. Reader mail time. This comes from Hoodaz. It's about traveling with his Switch. Traveling with my Switch for the first time and choosing between Celeste, Hollow Knight, Dead Cells, or Stardew. What do you recommend for playing that can be put down and picked back up in shorter bursts? Love you guys. Hope you enjoyed your time here in Minnesota last weekend.
Out of that list, Celeste. Celeste is made to be played in minuscule bursts.
Yeah,
literally screen by screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for that.
Yeah. In terms of short bursts and also in terms of one of my games of the year, for sure, Celeste is the right answer.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have started playing Dead Cells this weekend.
Yeah.
And I flew to Minnesota, which I did have a great time. But my entire flight there and entire flight back, I played Dead Cells the whole time.
Yeah.
So I'm about 7 hours into Dead Cells now. I am addicted to it. It is fantastic. It is good for short bursts, but some of those bursts end up being pretty long.
Right.
You keep playing through. Sometimes you're only playing for 5 minutes at a time, but sometimes you're going to be there for about 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think Celeste is the right answer there. If you're only trying to choose one of those games.
Went back to Celeste recently and wow, that holds up.
Mm-hmm.
After a few months, I was like, is this as good as I remember? Yeah. Maybe better than I remember.
I love Celeste, man.
It's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. Yeah. Straight up. It is one of the best games I have ever played.
Yeah.
Tom at 011 writes in and says, good morning, KFGD hosts. Nintendo just unveiled a buttload of sweet-looking indie games for Switch. One of them was Prison Architect, which we've been secretly working on for some time now. Tom, best friend out there, great game developer and all that stuff, always supportive of us. In an amazing Tim Gettys Gatorade Get Hype moment, it was also available to download immediately, which all of us at 011 are super stoked about. I think Joey would really get a kick out of it and it might finally get her off that damn farming game. So here's two codes, one for Joey and another to do with as you please. So I'm going to give the first one to Joey, but I'm going to read off a code now. Whoever gets it, you're lucky. B13KS5MG237C61SF for your code. on the Switch for Prison Architect. What games from the announcement are you looking forward to the most? I think Morphe's Law looks awesome. Hope you enjoy the game and keep fucking that chicken. Love, Tom. At Tom Petalino.
So I think I've already answered this question at length as we went through that section. How about you?
Morphe's Law is the one that is most interesting to me. Although I will say Windjammers.
Yeah.
I think Windjammers is the one that I want to play the most. And I've been wanting to play for a long time. And like, there's just that moment in time where I thought it was on Switch and it wasn't.
The fact that we're going to get a Windjammers 2 and that they're going to be able to refine some of the art, refine some of the mechanics and modernize them so it's more appealing to modern audiences visually, mm-hmm. I think will go a long way toward helping people understand, because I do think the visuals are where people stop. They're like, why does everything look like 1993? Mm. And the answer is that is the most like 1993 video game ever made,
yeah.
Artistically. Yeah.
Does the Windjammers, the PS4 version, look that way as well?
Yeah, it's still like, we are fuchsia! Got it.
Okay. Last Gen Gaming, Malcolm Irons writes in and says, I have a question about active users on Xbox 360 and PS3. I was just wondering, what's the number of PS3 and Xbox 360 player base nowadays actively playing games, not including watching Netflix, Hulu, etc. And what games they're playing and why they haven't they upgraded to current gen consoles? Is this data out there? Because I would love to look at it. Do you guys think the numbers are bigger or the same as Xbox One and PS4? Or are they significantly less, like in the hundreds of thousands for each console? What games do you think the active 360 and PS3 players are playing? My guess, it has to be GTA 5, Call of Duty, maybe Just Dance. Also, is there a reason not to upgrade to a PS4 or Xbox One, since Xbox One has backwards compatibility and PS4 has...
PS Now.
Oh, PS Now, if you need to go back and play old games. Also, if there's any KFBS friends out there that haven't upgraded yet and is active playing games on 360 and PS3, I'd love to know what games and why they haven't upgraded yet.
Okay, so there's a lot of questions here. I don't know a place to get accurate statistics on this.
Yeah, I don't think that that's available anywhere.
Yeah, if it is, I don't know about it. However, in some of the more speculative questioning or the reasons about why, Xbox One backwards compatibility is a gift from heaven, mm-hmm. that I never, like, I just want to give Major Nelson a great big kiss. I mean, I definitely ask first, but if he said yes, I'd be like, yes, sir, I would like to kiss you for making so many things backward compatible that I care about. But not everything is. And the other day I was over at Ye Olde IGN and they were getting rid of some old stuff, and I rescued an Xbox 360E, the last Xbox 360 model to ever be made, the one that came out at the same time as the Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, I got a practically new Xbox 360 with all the bugs worked out. And I've got that because there are a handful of games that are not in backward compatibility. And historically, I'd like to be able to revisit those someday. Mm-hmm. So I have that for that. And I think that some of its preservation, which, by the way, Gamescast this week, about that preservation.
Check it out now, live now for everyone on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
But a lot of it is that we here are in positions of economic privilege and developer relationship and publisher relationship privilege. We get a lot of stuff. A lot of people, game consoles are expensive, and you play what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You play what you can afford. You play what was handed down to you. You play because you're still saving up for that next-gen console. And so you grab those big, meaty Skyrims and GTA 5s and games that you can just play forever and ever and ever and restart and play again, and you keep at them, or you play that online shooter that still might have some player base left of other hardcore fans like you. I think it's economic more than anything that people are playing last-gen consoles.
Yeah,
your definitely. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. And I do think there's a lot of people out there that continue to do that. I think in terms of finding out numbers, I think the best bet, if you were real, it seems like you're really interested, would be to go into, like, boot up some games and see how many people are playing Call of Duty online and, like, see the numbers of, like, active players at any moment, right? And try to add that up across the different games. But I don't think that's the type of information they'll ever release.
Yeah, especially when you take out Netflix and Hulu and things like that. You know,
hard.
Yeah, because for a while, I bought my parents a Wii years ago, one of those cool blue ones that they gave away that one Black Friday, and they used it for Netflix mostly forever.
Yeah.
Like that was their Netflix machine.
Bot stuff, which I imagine is supposed to sound like butt stuff. You fucking pervert. Writes in and says, not a question. I just want to save face. Jared chose me for the squad up last Friday, and I said I was fired. Yes, I was fired unfairly.
Yeah, he's just, we were wondering about why you got fired. Well, turns out unfairly, he says. So
that sucks. I'm sorry for you, butt stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's some fun stuff coming your way. Eventually. You know what I mean? Squad uptime. Lancelot 602 says, hey, I'm looking for KFBFs that are attending Gamescom and maybe want to meet up. I'm going to be there from Tuesday to Friday. I'm at Lancelot 622.
Oh, what happened there?
I don't know. I don't know. Hold on. I'm Lancelot 622 on Twitter, forums, and PSN, or Patrick Schwartz in the Facebook group. Thanks for all that you do and stay awesome. Here's what I'm going to do, Cool Greg. Yeah. I'm going to look up him on Twitter real quick and confirm that this is him, because those are two different numbers, and I might have messed that up.
Uh-oh.
But I don't think that I did. That's a lot.
Yeah, because there could be a lot of Lancelots.
622.
Man.
Yep. Okay. It's Lancelot 622 on Twitter.
Forum PSN.
Hit him up if you're trying to hang out at Gamescom.
There we go.
In big old Germany. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong.
You're wrong, you say.
Oh, man.
All right. We got the you're wrong-o-matic. Man's on top of it.
Give me one sec.
I should have grabbed that. That's
all good.
It's
all good.
Failure there.
Yeah, we're just getting back in the swing of things here.
Indeed. Swinging indeed. Had fun with Chastity and Chris while you were gone. That was great. Yeah. Yeah, they were both wonderful guests. Really enjoyed them. What do you got there, my friend? What were we wrong about today? How many different
ways? There's only one thing.
What?
That people put. So I'm gonna reload this because that seems like it has to be wrong.
Is that in fact wrong?
Yes.
Is that what we were wrong about?
Let's see. Okay, we got. No, yeah, okay, good. Good
okay, there we go. Excellent. Your criticism has arrived.
Let's see. Kebab says, if Jared still really wants to play Bloodstained on Vita with remote play, every PS4 game is on Vita.
Okay, you know what? I am not playing a precise, like, to the microsecond platformer on remote play. I love remote play for my turn-based strategy games or something like that, but not for action games. No way. I like winning. What else we got here?
Lord of Pwns says, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom was announced all the way back in 2015 and was announced for Switch back in February this year.
Huh. I completely missed that.
Zaire says, new announcement, Life is Strange 2, first episode's launching September 27th.
Oh, that's great. Yep. How did I miss one?
Lord of Pwns says, miss new dates. Metal Wolf Chaos XD has been delayed to mid-2019.
Oh, that's too bad. That's the amazing mech simulator president battle game.
Zyger says, you missed this in new releases. Gears for Breakfast just announced this morning that A Hat in Time will be coming to Nintendo Switch in 2019. On top of that, the first DLC pack, Sealed the Door, will release on September 13th for $4.99. However, if you download it on release day, the DLC is free. On the same day, the DLC co-op mode will be available as well. That was deleted. We accidentally had an issue.
Wait, did I delete that still?
When you went back and found the shit we deleted,
yeah.
I guess we didn't have the updated shit we deleted.
It's I'm sorry. Fine. I screwed up we the document this morning. That was my mistake. I take responsibility for all of my failures. There's so many.
Kebab says the Jackbox devs have explained that the reason why it isn't a single game platform at this point is because the original games were programmed in a very different because the original games were programmed very differently from the modern ones. They don't have the manpower to go back and fix them.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, but I do feel like at some point they should.
I don't know. They know we're going to keep buying the games, and I imagine they can maybe charge us more if they keep releasing individuals.
That's true, but I feel like just put out a full like $50 release
It is not
starting over.
That much trouble for me to load Jackbox Pack 5 and then load Jackbox Pack 4. It takes like an extra 10 seconds. I'm not worried about it.
It's not even so much that. It's more like, wait, which one has Drawful 2? Wait, which one? You know, it's just like that annoying bit of trying to get to the game that you want to play.
I remember in college, You Don't Know Jack was new. Mm-hmm. And we were all just literally sitting around a computer keyboard holding different keys. Like a group of people mm-hmm. sitting around a computer keyboard all playing You Don't Know Jack together. It was beautiful. Wonderful to see that they have carried that tradition forward.
And that's it.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for contributing to this show. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow it is me and Andrea Renee. Then Wednesday it's me and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday. Thursday, Greg and Jared, and Friday, Greg and Andrea. Once again, shout out to PlayStation for sending us this beautiful, beautiful system. # game provided by PlayStation. Check it out. It's available August 24th if you want to get your hands on one or try to get your hands on one. These guys will be coming later, and man, I definitely want one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So pretty.
Until next time, I love you.